Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Good evening, ThinkBigRadio.com. Listener Biz here, your host today. I'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Today we have a special guest on the show, Sherwood Grant, all the way from Oak Park, Illinois. Sherwood, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Great. It's glad to hear from you, and I'm really happy for you to be our first guest for the year 2012. And we're going to have to talk about a lot of things, mainly about those New Year's resolutions that everybody's been making about getting in shape. So, Sherwood, would you please, first of all, let us know a little bit about you by getting out your information and how we can reach you.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm honored to be the first guest of the year to kick the year off. And you can reach me via my website, www.sherwoodagrant.com or www.simpleandgood.net. You can email me at sherwood@sherwoodagrant.com if you have any questions, suggestions, ideas. My website is pretty heavy in content, so you know, take your time and look through that information. And if you're in the Chicagoland area and would like to utilize any of my services, definitely can reach out to me at 708-288-9693.
All right, great. Now, first thing I'd like to do is just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, you know, if you have a large or small family, you know, let our listeners get a chance to know, you know, who you were before and how you got to become who you are today.
Well, you know, I've been a Chicagoland resident for the majority of my life, actually. I was born in Montana, though. A lot of people don't know that. I was there as a little child for a little bit, moved around a little bit. Dad was in the Air Force. I ended up in Chicago, living on the west side of town. I'm the eldest of five. I got three other brothers and a younger sister. I am a father, a friend, teacher, healer. You know, that's what titles I give myself. And my responsibility is helping others to improve their everyday lifestyle. My passion for this, it began about 10 years ago. I got involved with a contest. At the time, it was the Body for Life contest. It was like a 12-week contest. And
that's a great contest. I know a little bit about that.
That's right. You know what? We did talk about that. I did that in 99, and it truly transformed my approach to health and fitness. I always consider myself kind of being active. But, you know, after I saw that publication, it was in the magazines, my Men's Health magazine, and I saw the pictures of individuals that were transforming their bodies. You know, like 12 weeks, I'm like, it's a win-win situation for me. You know, even if I don't win the $100,000 that was the prize at the time, I was saying that, you know, I can't lose. And, you know, something's going to have to change because I was going to the gym three times a week, playing basketball three times a week, and I was like, I'm not looking like the guys in the Men's Health magazine. Something going on. So that actually spearheaded one of the reasons why I got involved with that Body for Life challenge. And after I completed the challenge, you know, I have my before and after pictures actually on my website. But after I completed the challenge, you know, the first question I posed to myself, because, you know, Body for Life dealing with EAS and with some supplemental products that they were using, their shakes, the meal replacement shakes, they had other supplemental products. that I utilize. And my question to myself was, did I really need them? You know, could I really have attained, you know, a better health without using any of these chemicals or any of these products that EAS were promoting? And that's when my holistic journey started. From then, I was working for in corporate America, and in 2003, the company I was working for them for about 14 years. I decided to, you know, change my occupation and go full time in the health and fitness field. So I've been doing that ever since. And
sir, would you say that this is really a part of your life mission? Because a lot of times, you know, you have people, you know, they're just kind of walking along. And then after a while, you know, they say, you know what, this is my passion, this is what drives me. And then they'll start focusing on, you know, that particular aspect in their lives. So would you say that this is a part of your life mission?
Definitely, definitely. I think we all have the power to create our missions in life. And I think that we all have talents. Whether we capitalize on the talents or not, you know, is an individual choice. But this was something that was definitely passionate for me. And I think my life mission can be defined as just a one that wants to help other people. To love myself means that I must love my neighbor also after I learn how to love myself. So the mission, you know, right now that I have created for myself is to kind of help people to transform their lives physically and mentally by, you know, encouraging fitness and encouraging a better nutrition, encouraging enjoying life.
So I know that you mentioned that EAS, that firm, and looking at how people transform their bodies alone was some of the factors that came into play when you decided to change your whole life and your whole life mission. But have you turned that passion into a workable business? And, you know, also, did you have to partner with anyone to start making these things happen?
Well, you know, I always say that a person must sit back and count the cost. And knowing that I wanted to create a better environment for the community I live in, create a better environment for myself, and that I can and assist another individual to be a better person, you know, I had to sit back and ask myself, what can I do so? And then, therefore, I started creating these plans and programs and start writing a book and start getting involved with first seeing what the problem is and then deriving a solution. I didn't have to really necessarily partner with anyone in per se, but I did. I was blessed, I must say, because when I started to get into the professional training industry, I was able to work under a partner of mine, John Hall, and he had already had an established business, and he was looking for a qualified trainer, you know, to you know, share the facility which he trained, that's a little bit different from being a commercial trainer. You know, it's a little bit different level of personal, I guess, education that takes place in such an environment. So he allowed me to operate there, and from there I was always a networker, so I always just begin to share information with people that I meet, and it's all about getting transformations. So there's a ton of testimonials on my website. So once I start to get one individual help transform their lives, and then another individual come along, you know, that's been a referral, you know, then it continues to take place. And it's really just people just need more knowledge. At that time, that's where I was at, giving them more knowledge.
Now, so tell me, what did you view as a challenge? Because one day you had your aha moment, and it shook your spirit to the point where you was like, I need to do this. So what was a challenge that you particularly faced that you had to overcome? And by, you know, being a positive person that you are, which you know, I was blessed to have come into contact networking with you from the far past, and then, you know, finding you again, you know, later in life. What was that challenge, and what did you use to possibly overcome it?
Well, you know, earlier on, the challenge is always getting people to have an opening ear to taking better care of themselves, surprisingly. That should not be a challenge. I mean, even to this day, I feel like all my email addresses and my phone numbers should have messages just waiting all the time. I have a large database of people that I interact with, and I think I should be at a position that everyone should be throwing questions, you know, trying to, you know, find out some things through someone as passionate as I am regarding health and fitness. So it's a surprise at times when that's not the case, that people really do not put their health as a priority. We will spend more money on our cars. We will spend more money on things. We will spend more money on our hair or nails. We spend more money on our shoes, clothing, than we will spend on our souls, on our bodies, as far as taking care of it. And I think that everyone, there's not one person should not view that taking care of their body should be the prime objective in life, first and foremost. Because you can't do anything without life. You can't do anything without good health. Now, you can have poor health, and of course you can still function. But to really live, you want to live as a person that has vitality, a person that's blessed with longevity, a person that has ability and mobilities move around. So the challenge was getting people to really see that, hey, I am worth the investment. Then once I got a person that was in sync with that investment, then the other challenge was how to be able to encourage them to make these transitional choices, to make these changes in life that's always seemed to be centered around food, you know, and that was the greatest challenge, that, you know, I had clients and we work out, but they didn't want to change how they eat. And then I had to encourage them and put together a little structured program, and they found it a little bit difficult or needed a lot more guidance, or they wanted someone to really hold their hand and just tell them what to do. And at the time, I was like, no, I don't do that. I want you to learn. I want you to really embrace this and learn how to do, instead of me just telling you, because once I tell you, what are you going to do after you stop doing what I tell you to do? You know, are you going to have enough information to be able to continue on in your lifestyle? So the challenge was, how can I encourage one to be able to make changes that would enhance their lifestyle even when they're not with me, when they're not involved, you know, with my programs per se?
Wow, that's a real, real big challenge. And I definitely hope that the wisdom that you're imparting to these people, that they know more, that is more than just doing it around you. You know, that's something that they have to continuously do and continuously strive for.
Correct.
Now, so what would you say would be the biggest advice or quality you could share with our audience that helped you the most?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
The biggest advice or quality you could share with our audience that helped you the most?
Oh, okay, to help me. Well, you know, man, my spiritual aspect of life has encouraged me always to treat people like I would like to be treated, and then to love thy neighbor as I love myself. And I think that is one of the biggest driving forces that I have, is to be able to know that I'm helping someone else. And that quality of wanting to see someone else succeed, to be able to take them out of a dire consequence, to take them out of a challenged state or a mental state, that is has a low vibration and be able to be a part of that transition to motivate, you know, an individual to reach the next level. Even if a person has reached a successful level in life, you know, we can always move forward with more information, and I like to be just part of that, you know, no matter where you're at on the scale, you know, just to be able to add to, you know, the one's personal toolbox of skills to be able just to be a better person. And so even now, you know, and 10 years later, that's one of the things that is still, you know, burning pretty great in my life, you know, that need or that desire to be able to want to help people. Because, for one, I know how fulfilling it is for myself to see another person, you know, reach another level, and it helps me to be able to reach another level also, because now I'm always looking for ways to be able to add to one's life, and that gives me more knowledge, gives me more power, it gives me more ability. And, of course, I'm a firm believer of practice what you preach, you know, so I walk the walk as I talk that talk, so it's a win-win situation.
Now, for the people who may just be tuning in, if possible, could you please get out your contact information?
Well, you can reach me, like I say, at Sherwood@SherwoodAGrant.com. That's Sherwood@SherwoodAGrant.com. And my website is www.SherwoodAGrant.com or www.SimpleAndGood.net. That is the company that I am going to be spearheading a lot of different programs under. And we would definitely, I'm pretty sure, get around to talking to, you know, some of the programs that I do have in place as of now, because there are some really big things that I have planned for 2012. But those two websites and the email, Sherwood@SherwoodAGrant.com, you can definitely reach me.
Right. Just like with all of the big thinkers that come on, we'd like to try to review their websites, get to know them a little bit before the show. And I'd like to say that that is a very great website, and the video that you have on there, you know, inviting people, that is that's very professional, and you can see firsthand, not just hearing you on this station, but by visiting your website, you know, they can really see what you're about. And it's put together beautifully.
Well, thank you. I thank you.
Now,
I still have some. Oh, go ahead.
Laura, what would you say would be the time frame of a big idea to its completion? You know, when you sat down and you found out, you know, what your life mission was, how you felt about, you know, health and fitness, and then you said, well, now I get to start it. You know, I need to start putting my ideas and make them workable and do the things that I need to do. What type of time frame is that to where you are now?
Ooh, you know what? I think I start feeling like I need to create more. Probably took place about 3 years ago. So, like I said, I did the Body for Life in 99. I left corporate America in 2003. And I began personal training full-time at that time. About 3 years ago, I want to say, so that's about around 2008, so about 5 years, is when I first started seeking a real program, a real path to be able to help multitudes of people at one time. And that's how I created my cleansing program, because it seems like everyone that I was coming in contact with whether it be professionally as being their trainer, or whether it be out in as I gave presentations and lectures, what I was finding is that people were really struggling with knowing what to eat, how to eat, when to eat, and society was not helping at all. You know, they were making it even more difficult, and that people were just told to eat healthy and exercise. And when a person was told to eat healthy and exercise when they had some sort of disease or when they had some sort of illness they were trying to correct, or when they were just, you know, need to do something so that they can feel better, a person kind of walk away with that mentality to eat better and exercise. But that was not enough information to be able to empower them to make these changes. Henceforth,
right,
I started seeing that people were getting more obese every year. Obesity was becoming an epidemic. It wasn't changing. People were getting more sickly every year. Diabetes and cancer, heart disease, they were increasing. Nothing was decreasing at all. You know, you can do the research and you see how that people were getting more and more unhealthy. And when we're supposed to be in a new age, or let's say a technological age, that, you know, it's surprising that we are the most sickest people that's ever walked on earth in time, you know. And that was like mind-boggling to me. Like, wow, everybody's so sick, you know. When I was giving presentations to the high school students, you know, I talk about diseases, and I say, when I was, you know, a teenager, I didn't know anybody that had cancer. I never heard of diabetes. And talking to the individuals, the students, you know, today, they know a low hole. Their parents might have these diseases. They may have a relative as a brother or sister might be affected with these diseases. They knew of all of the different sicknesses and seen, you know, the ramification of bad choices. And so it was nothing they were oblivious to, you know. And it was just, it's like, what changed? What changed in a matter of 20 years? And really, when it come down to it, it's the food, you know. And I had to really look at, wow, the only thing that has changed is the food that we choose to eat and the food that people put in front of us. So that's where I started to really look more in depth to the nutritional aspect of health.
Well, it's funny that you bring up the food from 20 years ago, what we were eating, as far as you know, and for some of us a lot longer than 20 years. When, you know, as a lot of people know, I'm basically in real estate type businesses, and I know that a lot of older houses, you know, pre-1950, you know, the staircases, everything, they're built for smaller people. And then as time went on, with the, not to say that Burger King and McDonald's kills people, but, you know, they do have healthy menus if you want to, you know, take a bit of those. But when that fast food started coming about, that's when there was a big change in the way that we started cooking our food. Whereas, you know, our parents, they may not have eaten McDonald's and Burger King as much as we have, you know, as far as growing up and things of that sort. So, yeah, definitely when you mentioned the food choices, I can feel you on that point.
Yeah, and it's so funny. I was just talking to someone the other day. I think it was just on Facebook, and I forgot to mention, you can follow me also on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. But there was a comment, they had a picture, someone had a picture of their parents, and somebody said, ooh, they said the fast food restaurant must have missed them as they were growing up. And when you sat back and think about it, it's like one of those things that nobody's parents was overweight back in the day. Everybody was slender. You look at the old school pictures of uncles and aunts, and moms and dads, it's like everybody was slender. They look way vibrant than what we are today. And it's like, it really, like I say, people really got to open their eyes and see that being sick is not healthy. And not necessarily that you can look at an individual and just say they're sick, but just to mentally, constantly think about, are you healthy? Not a measurement of that as a medical doctor, but a measurement just to be able to look in tune into yourself. You know, if you can't get up a flight of stairs and you seem like you're out of breath, that's not a good health, you know, a level of health. You know, if you can't touch your toes to tie your shoes, that's not a good indication that you have good health. You know, if you are on medication to be able to just digest food that you eat, that's, you know, there's so many things that we have become desensitized to that we think that it's okay. We think that it's okay to be overweight, and then we even make excuses and say that, hey, everybody is not meant to be this size or that size. And I sit back, and as I do my studies, I always look at the animals, and I say, well, all the lions seems to be the same size. All the stallions seem to be the same size. All the elephants seem to be the same size. There is not one mammal in the world that they don't share the same sizes, except those ones that live with humans. So now you get dogs and cats that you look at the cat like, what in the world is cat so big or this dog so big? It's because these individuals eat your food. They're eating human food. So then, therefore, they start to have human diseases. So now you have animals like dog and cat got diabetes, they got cancer, they have heart disease. Why?
Wow.
Because they're eating your food, and not only that, they're eating food created by man in their little, you know, the little bags or their little cans. So the food that man create and give to the animals give them the same diseases that humans have. But the wild animals, if you let them leave them alone and let them to the wild, they all have the same size. What's up with that?
You're right. Wow.
So when you look at it,
always glad to have big thinkers come on the show and share those different points of view that, you know, us in other fields may, you know, not have. And one of the things that most of the people that come on our show, they're, you know, 9 out of 10 times they're entrepreneurs. And we talked earlier about you're working with corporate America, then you decided to step off onto your own. What would you say is the biggest reason a person should go into their own business?
Well, you know, I think that it's definitely necessary to be able to hone one skill. And I think that we all should have our own business, and we should be able to work collectively with one another. So whether or not you working under another business, you still have your own business. You know, we all should consider ourselves to be consultants or in some form of fashion, and that they're paying us for our talents. But then we should be in a position that we have talents that we can utilize and not just depend on someone else to provide the basic necessities in life. Like I say, when you look at the animals, they seem to be doing quite fine and none of them have a job. You got to, like, understand that. You know, the world is created in the way that if we take care of it, it would take care of us. Man create all this need for money and all this economic division, you know, poor, rich, middle class. We created all that. But the animals, all they do is to live to take care of themselves, and they have fun doing it. You see the birds, they fly in the sky. You see the squirrels, they play and run. And the only concern they have is their meal, where they're going to eat to be able to live. And if we can't at least live as well as the animals, we really missing out on really the joys of being intelligent beings, you know. Step up from the animals, our intelligent beings, and the animals pretty much on the health side, on the fitness side, they got us beat, because the bird learned how to fly early on, and they continue to fly until the day they die. Whereas humans, we learn how to walk, and somehow down the line, we can't walk. We get to a point that now everybody thinks walking is exercise. I'm looking like walking is not exercise. If walking is exercise, that means looking is exercise, or hearing is exercise, or waving is exercise. Neither one of those you would automatically say to exercise, because that's what you're supposed to do with these body parts. You got legs to walk. That's what you're supposed to do. A bird, when he flies in the sky, he don't say, I'm exercising. That's what he got wings to do. When a fish swim in the water, he don't say, I'm exercising. So how in the world we keep thinking that all these things that we do, I mean, not all, but just that basic walking, this is exercise. No, we're supposed to be able to do that. But somehow down through life, someone has programmed us to believe that walking is exercise, because so many people get in such a rut that they forget or can't walk properly, you know. So it's really, I mean, when you really look at it, it's so much to think about. I just try to keep the basics, you know, out there to keep people on their toes, and nutrition is just where everyone needs to take a look at.
Yeah, I know definitely walking not exercise. That's something that we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get any better. Now, after you went through the different stages to, you know, start living out your life mission, what steps did you take to build your brand? And did you use any creative marketing techniques?
You know, one of the things I would encourage everyone is to not be afraid to meet another person. Networking is just such a powerful tool. And I got into a habit early on, you know, when I first got my corporate American job, they gave me business cards, 1,000 of them. I was like, everybody going to know I work for this company. Everybody going to know what I do. So every opportunity I had, you know, I'm handing out a business card. And I had a habit of, if I give you something, I want something back in return. So then I always asked, hey, do you have a business card? And once I started collecting all this database, you know, right now I think I have like a database of about 18,000 people, because I was just always collecting cards, getting numbers, getting names, and, you know, just, you know, being personal, you know, with individuals, you know, because I feel that I might have something to share that they definitely can utilize. So once I start to learn more in my craft of health and fitness and nutrition, then I start to just share the information with individuals, and they began to appreciate it. You know, they looked forward to it. So I was just sending out emails to people in bulk, giving them tips. And when I finally, that's when websites start coming around and everybody was getting websites, then it's like, hey, let me get my website together. And now I didn't have to use, at first I used to use Constant Contacts as an email distribution, but my list was like too large. It was like 10,000 people, and so I was paying like, you know, I was paying a good little money each month just to be able to send out emails, you know, these newsletters. So I invested in the program to be able to send out the newsletters without having to pay a monthly fee. You know, I got a website, a professional website. And then I start using the social networks, start to boom, you know. Facebook was one of the huge ones for me, to be able to reach out and to get information in front of people. You know, and at that point, then it began just interacting with individuals. They have talents. You know, I met somebody that were very good in taking pictures. I met another person that was very good in videography. I met another person that was pretty good in putting marketing material together. So I made a habit of working with African-American people, because me, myself, as being an African-American, I feel that we need to support one another first and foremost. So I made a habit of doing so. And, of course, involved too, but I made sure that I was consistent and trying to get from one point to the next. So that's how, in building my brand, you know, I was consistent in my message, consistent in what I was doing regarding health and fitness and nutrition, and everything that I started to develop. I, you know, created my logo, actually logos, and at that point, you know, creating the 28-day cleansing program that I'm really proud of was just next level. You know, it's like, hey, write a book. So I wrote a book. I created this 28-day program, and I completed it last year, May. And right now it's putting it in front of people so they can really see what it can do, you know, getting the testimonials. So I'll be having testimonials soon on the website of people that have went through the 28 days. And now I've created some more programs for the year 2012, you know, a 90-day challenge, to have weekly support. Classes, because then if being a personal trainer, a lot of people think that personal training is expensive, but it doesn't have to be, you know. I train at a very elite studio, and yes, you know, they're a clientele that has, they are very financially well off, but me, myself, personally, I try to expose everyone to that type of atmosphere, and there's a lot of programs that I have. At $15 a week, you can come and get, you know, emotional support, you know, direction. It doesn't have to don't have to be any exercise involved. You know, I have classes, fitness classes you can partake in, small group trainings that you can participate in. You know, and the services, like I said, are online under my website. So definitely, you know, that there's so much that I'm trying to get into position that there's no reason that anyone can just readily overlook taking care of their health.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, what books, mentors, or training resources could you suggest to our listeners that, you know, helped you move to your next level? I know you just mentioned your book, and I know that's going to be a real great start for them. And another thing that caught me was that you said that at the point that you started, and you really engulfed yourself. And what I know is that if you study a particular subject at least an hour every day, that you could become an expert in that. And just listening to you now and thinking about the countless amount of hours that you've studied, you know, you're well at that level. What type of study materials and books that you may say that, you know, if I wanted to do a quick read or watch a video that dealt with health that you might have used to, you know, kind of motivate you?
Well, good question. Well, first let me say this. The book that I put together is called Simple and Good Educational Cleansing Program, and this book, as of right now, can only be acquired through purchase of my 28-day, or actually it's my cleansing program, which is a 28-day kit that can be performed twice. So it's really a 56-day cleansing program. So my book can only be attained by purchasing the kit as of now. But some of the material that I utilized, well, first of all, a mentor that I really embraced, Dr. Sebi. He's an herbologist in Honduras. A lot of what he says I totally agree with as far as his approach to nutrition and healing the body. And there's also a gentleman named Adam Wolf. He's a raw foodist, probably one of the few raw foodists that I have seen that actually looks pretty healthy, because usually, you know, I feel that they look a little bit too frail. So when I created Simple and Good, the motto was bridging the gap between health and fitness, because what I was seeing is that a lot of people that were in the nutritional aspect didn't look athletic or healthy. And a lot of people that was into training on a professional level, they wasn't looking, they didn't have the nutritional aspect. So it's like a big gap. So my purpose is to you know, bring the two and fill that gap. So on a athletic level, there are a couple really good, I want to say, authors out here. I like Mark Verstegen. He has athlete's performance. There's a great cook. And the ones in the training field, some of these names are probably popular. There's sometimes seminars and workshops that I attend each and every year that a lot of these speakers attend or present. As far as reading material, I tell you, there's this book by this author back in the early 1900s. His name is called, his book is called The Mucusless Healing System. Arnold Erich, a German guy. The Mucusless Healing System, Arnold Erich. And this guy was really before his time. And many of the things he spoke of in the early 1900s, the late 1800s, were right on target. And this is when, you know, you had people, especially Europeans, were really on this raw food, or they were starting to phase into trying to look for better ways to have better health. And there are so many things that he shared that was just next level back then, that all your really good natural healers are putting into place. I think there's a commonality to share. So Arnold Erich's Mucusless Healing System, Adam Wolf, Eating for Beauty, Dr. Sebi has his own book out too. I think those are pretty good reading materials for right now. You know, there are a couple more that I like. There's this cookbook by the name of The Alkaline Healing System by Keith Exum. I like his cookbooks and his recipes. But once you start to look out there, you start to see that there's a brother by the name of, he has a website, it would come to me. I drew a blank on him. It would come to me, though, and I definitely, when it comes to me, I'll share it.
You know, this has been really exciting, and I've learned a lot, and I'm sure that, you know, continuously talking to you, especially, you know, in this field, you know, I'll be able to learn a lot more and change my health around, because it wasn't one of those issues where I was making a New Year's resolution. You know, I just had decided a few months ago that I need to really seriously think about getting back into shape myself, so that, you know, mm-hmm. I can do something that I used to do. And, you know, I heard you talk about basketball a little earlier. That was one of my favorite sports.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you can have a 45-minute interview, and it just seems like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes have went past, and it's at
right.
that point right now where, you know, we're down to our last 2 minutes. So if there's anyone, you know, that you'd like to thank, you know, as far as responsible for getting you to where you are or changing, you know, some of your habits, now would be the time to do so. And first, though, get your information out one last time.
All right. To contact me, like I say, you can reach me by email, Sherwood, Sherwood, at SherwoodAGrant.com. You can also check out my website, www.SherwoodAGrant.com, or www.SimpleAndGood.net. I definitely like to thank my clients. They're my greatest supporters. There's quite a few that's been around for a while, and I stay in contact with them all. And you can definitely reach out to me on Facebook. I have a couple Facebook pages. I have a fan page, Simple and Good. I have an actual conversation page. The conversation is powered by Sherwood Grant. And I have personal pages, Sherwood A. Grant. It's definitely one that I'm always willing to accept, you know, friendships of those that want to keep into the loop. I'm on LinkedIn. I have YouTube, so there's quite a few videos that I posted, and many to come, because I'm going to be going through this process of taking a lot of videos. So YouTube channel, Simple and Good, and Twitter, you know, under Sherwood Grant.
I really appreciate your time, and
Her call is 651, area code 324. Sorry, I wasn't able to get you on to ask her ask a question or anything, but you can listen to the archive of the interview, get some things you didn't get, and just basically get in touch with Mr. Grant. Mr. Grant, really appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll be able to get you on here in the future and maybe host a couple of shows and talk a little bit more about fitness.
I would love that. I would love that. I appreciate you also, Big.
All right, now. Thank you.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.